So
So
eerie.
yeah, it's very eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's tilt it.
Andy, are you all right if I get started?
Yeah, but this time was give us some now.
It's started.
The
Okay. I'm ready when they
are. Good bring that up on the quarter.
I call the Committee of Budget and Finance on Wednesday, September 10th, 2025 at 4 p.m. in the Frank Lucido Papa President's Conference Room. Let's go ahead and do roll call. Vice Chair Barris, absence excused. Senator Huang, absence unexcused. Senator Custer. Senator Lawson, absence unexcused. Senator Lucchesi.
Present.
Senator McAndrews.
Present.
Chair Miceli, present. Senator Moss.
Present.
The quorum is present. We'll move on to agenda item four, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item five, adoption of minutes. There are no minutes to be adopted at this time. So we'll move on to agenda item six, reports. Does anyone have any reports? I don't have a report. Okay, move on to agenda item seven, old business. There's no old business at this time. So we'll move right into agenda item eight, new business. Agenda item 8A, financial reviews of ASUN accounts. We'll go ahead and do PGO 5175 programming board first. So the representatives from each respective department will present their fiscal year 2026 expenditures according to the form that we sent out, and we'll hear them out, and then we'll have some time for questions as well. So if you could, for programming, just say your name and position for the record, that would be great. What's yeah, you can come up here.
I'm Assistant Director Giles, Director of Budget and Assessment for Programming. And I'll just jump right into our memo that we sent for you guys. So thank you, Senators, for having us today. This is the standardized financial review for ASUN programming. Our mission statement is as follows. The programming board's mission for the 2025-2026 fiscal year is to plan and execute events for the student body to create memories, show off the amazing UNR resources for students, introduce freshmen and campus life, and create a safe and diverse space. We have been and hope to continue to use all of our allocated budget wisely so as to not see student funds go to waste. And then going into our account overview, our total account allotted dollars as of most recently approved ASUN budget was $131,000 or $131,500. And then our total dollars spent as of this form was $34,916.92 as of September 4th, 2025, when I wrote this. And then our account spending currently, we just finished up our Welcome Week events. We appreciate anyone who was there to help us or attended. So first we had Taste of Reno, which just very briefly was an event where students could come in, learn about campus resources that we provide, and then also get to taste and like pick and choose different food places from about six local vendors. We had around 200 people in attendance. This was mostly due to the fact that we had to make a last minute change to move the event inside because of the rain. But all in all, we spent around $3,742.40 for this event. The next week, we had Paint N, the UNR traditional event where students hike up to the iconic N on the hill, cover it in paint, there's drinks, snacks, and we have free drawstring bags for students this time. We had around 250 in attendance, again, mostly due to the postponement and due to weather. And we also had to move it to Labor Day, which that holiday could have also impacted our attendance. And then we had $1,336.27 spent on this event, followed by Undera, another traditional Welcome Week event. Students give clothes to a donating or like a donate your clothes for a cause type thing. And then we have the Run Mile in their underwear, very iconic. We had around 300 people in attendance. As you'll notice, a theme, our attendance was lower than expected because of the rain happening the entirety of the run, which brought our total to $2,428.29. Then we had Wolf It Down, one of the most iconic and definitely the biggest event that we have this week. where students come for the late night pancake feeds, as well as having multicultural fraternity life present, marching band, and cheer roll presence too. We had around 2,500 people in attendance for this event, so it was a great turnout. And $10,929.38 were spent at this event. Then we have the Fall Club Fair, which happens twice a year. All programming did for this event was provide food in the form of pizza. So we had around 2,000 people in total come to Club Fair, probably around 500 of that actually ended up eating a pizza, and we spent $1,587.30 on just the food for that event. And then we ended up the week with Glow Pack Festival, our new event that we offer to students. We had a lineup of local DJs, we had bounce houses, food, as well as lots of games. Our expected attendance was around 1,000. I did write this before the event occurred, so we ended up having just over 500. And then the expected money spent and the total spent in the end was $12,728.26. So that's all that we have spent so far for programming, just with the Welcome Week stuff. And then how did this spending further your mission statement? Overall, the money was allowing us to create entertaining and fulfilling event spaces for the students. I feel like for most of our events, the main incentive for getting students to show up and be present is like a free food or a free gift or something like that. So that's why we try to allocate as much money as we can towards those types of materials for incentive. And then having those larger budgets also helps us have UNRPD, RUNSA, ESI, and all of those like safety protocols at our events so that we ensure that no one's getting hurt, everyone's safe, there's no dangerous activities going on that would deter people from coming to more of the events. So that's pretty much how the spending currently has helped us with our mission statement, just getting people involved and keeping them safe. And then challenges encountered based on the funding, none at the moment, very appreciative of that. And then planning and recommendations for the future. Have operations been steady? Yes, we haven't encountered any challenges so far with like the amount of money that we have been allotted. And then has there been any for travel funding so far? Nope. And I'm not expecting us to have any. And this was prepared by me, Greg Downs, Director of Budget and Assessment. And that is it for that financial review form.
Awesome. Thank you, Assistant Director Gale. Well, it props to you all for powering through the weather, everything. I had a lot of fun at Welcome Week. Does anyone have any questions? I have a few, but if anyone wants to go first, take it away.
Yeah, so my question is, do you guys see yourself using the rest of the budget to its maximum capacity, or do you think that's what, I mean, I know it's early in the year, hard to tell right now, but that's what projected you.
Yeah, so as of right now, we do have an entire budget spreadsheet planned for the entire year. So we have money allocated for homecoming coming up. And then obviously we have some set aside for our bigger events like the drag show and spring concert. So I'm pretty sure we are using all of that money that's allocated, maybe 1 or 2 thousand shy.
Okay.
If that will all get used is very dependent on the future. But as of right now, we plan to use all of it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Could I ask a follow-up to that?
Yeah.
Did you mention within those groups of events the concert as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because
I thought I misheard you then.
Yeah, it's going
to
be spring.
Okay. Or is what spending would come out of programming for the concert? Because that has its own account as well.
Yeah, it would be under a separate account. I believe that when it was allocated to us, it's technically under like programming spending, but it's an additional, I believe, $150,000 that is not included in that $131,500 that is on that statement, just because, again, like it's in a different account, but we end up being able to access it if you want to find funds.
Got it. So you guys pretty much oversee that. Right. Well, you obviously oversee it, but it's just coming from a different account.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
And we can't touch it unless it's related to the console.
Gotcha. Okay. Go ahead, send me figures.
So just from the numbers that were provided on the account overview, there should be about $47,894 left. But then on our spreadsheet, we have about... exactly that. So just kidding. Yeah.
Which number are you looking at?
Oh no, I figured it out. It's like literally like right there.
On
Oh
the
yeah. So never mind, never mind, never mind. I
budget.
was looking at the wrong number.
Oh,
So
no.
that yeah. I know I'm embarrassed, but yeah, you're good.
Yeah, Senator Moss. Just a quick question for you, AD Guile. I noticed when you talked about Wolf It Down in comparison to Glowpack. I attended Glowpack and I thought it was fantastic, but I noticed about a difference of a little over $1,000 in the spending, and you said that the attendance for Glowpack was around just over 500 people, you said. So what do you trying to think of what I was thinking with Wolf It Down having more people in attendance and spending less money. What exactly was spent on Glowpack that would make it more expensive with less of a student turnout for the event?
Yeah, so Glowpack Festival was our first time doing it, so we didn't really know how to gauge certain things. But any individual breakdown of that budget, which I can read through to you if you want, but the programmer that was working on that event put a lot of time and effort into like the bigger things. So like we had the bounce houses, which in itself, it was $600, and then like the big lights and tent system that he had was $1,600, $1,500. The police present at that event were $2,000. I'm not sure why they quoted us that much compared to some other events. And then also, since we were expecting so many people, we kind of overbought certain things, like the glow up wristbands were almost $2,000. And again, we only used about 500 of those. So we definitely took some shots in the dark with this event, and pretty much all of the catering places that we went to each got $500. And that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, and then Kane's got 1,000. So it was just a lot more going into this event because we didn't know, or we couldn't really expect how it was going to turn out. With Wolf It Down, I think we've gotten it to a point where we know that event front back. We know where we can save money, and we know what the students do and don't like about it, which is why that budget was smaller than this one. Yet Wolf It Down's so traditional, and I feel like that's another reason for the higher, much higher turnout that one too.
If I
Yeah,
may.
go ahead. And just a clarifying question. I know it's 2 weeks or a week after your event week. So, are these the exact numbers or are you still waiting for receipts and stuff like that?
For Glowpack Festival, those are the exact numbers, because everything for that event was pretty much invoices and quotes. There wasn't any like store shopping that we had to do with receipts. The only ones that I still am waiting on, and I have made it clear to the programmers that I need their receipts, is Wolf It Down as well as Undie Run. Those ones I still haven't gotten much back on, but I plan on following up with them this week.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You guys have done a fantastic job.
Yeah. So, Kessie, is there any opportunity like to have rollover from the fall budget into the spring budget, or is it like a pretty close budget that you guys have so far?
Yeah, so like Senator McGann just pointed out, we do have around that $4,000 that's left over. I'm pretty sure if we are following the same pattern as last year, whatever we have left over from like Welcome Week, Homecoming Week, will go to the concert, if anything, just because that's where we see the most expenses. But yes, we do plan to roll over as much as we can.
Yeah, just to echo what Senator Moss said, great job like handling those both week, but all those events were great. I attended and we had a great time.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Senator Cashley.
Yeah. What I mean, I know this is kind of an arbitrary question, but what event do you think has the most energy for students and do people show up the most excited for? Is it Club Fair or Wolf It Down? I'm curious what programming thinks is the most energized event or people want people going forward.
Yeah, I would probably agree with the ones listed.
Okay,
Wolf
so
It Down
those
and
two.
Club Fair.
Okay. I
Yeah.
figured that
It
would be the
just in
top
terms
two.
of our turnout, like you go to those events, you can barely see over the
Yeah,
crowds of
so
people. Also those attendance numbers are based off of what we get from our campus check-in app, with people who actually go through the line, let us scan their thing in. So if we take out like the people who probably just snuck in, and I know they didn't mean to sneak in, but you
sure,
know, like
yeah,
people who didn't know that they had to check in, those numbers are probably a lot higher. I know for Wolf It Down or for Glowpack Festival though, we did check every single person in because they all have to have like the line numbers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I'm just doing the check-in and we'll fit down. There was well over 3,000 people at that event. We only checked in 1,700.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy. And I just want to clarify something. There isn't rollover from semester to semester in the same fiscal year. What there is they allocate money to a project, wolf it down. When they don't use all the funds, they release those funds back into the general budget.
Okay.
The rollover occurs from one fiscal year to the next.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Senator Lucchesi, did you mean like rollover internally with what they were planning and if they didn't spend as much right now?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah, you explained it perfectly. Like per event and then rolling back to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the time the concert comes around, they have a full concert budget.
Right.
But what Raylan will do and Graydon is they're going to look at it and say, what do we have left for the semester? The remainder will then become a subsidy in addition to the concert itself.
Right.
For the concert budget, it'll just come out of the program. Yeah.
Understood. Any other questions? I have a few. So, I mean, one, did you enjoy the form that we sent to have you fill out? Did it make sense? Did it make your job a little easier? Did it feel more structured? It's something new we're trying. And, the goal is just to collect better data and make it more consistent across the board.
I will be on, like, the form filling it out was fine.
Huh?
The document shared from accounting that we got from Jared.
Okay.
It was a little hard for me to understand. So all of these numbers I pulled from like our internal budget. If that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. This should be it.
I feel like mine looked a little different.
Were you looking at one of these different tabs like the receipts of operations or
was it a form or was it an Excel file?
It was an Excel file. I found it.
It should all be the same, Sandy, correct?
Yep. Maybe I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
Either way, like, I don't know. I just use our personal numbers, but I'm glad that it reflects what you have on here. But filling out this actual form was very efficient.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how they know how to release what's been allocated to a project. When you approve a budget, at the end, you reconcile the expenses. That's how they know, oh, we didn't spend $2,000. We can release that allocation and put it back into the larger budget. So she's keeping her own, she's even more meticulous.
Yeah.
She's keeping her own detailed budget.
Right.
For the purpose of being able to release unused funds.
Right. And so if I understand this, so you said, and then that form was as of 9/4, 34,900 and something. But this, the total, and Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, 14,000, right? Including salaries and everything. Was your number just from operations? And it's 2 days later. And so I think in those 2 days, there was Wolf It Down and Glowpack, which... Is that the two expenses we're missing as of the second when this form? Okay.
I did not include salaries in this.
Okay.
Just because I would that for the future would that fall under like services provided or for the account spending?
And I don't know if you remember we had this discussion.
Yeah.
We actually that's why that front sheet is so important. You know, up to date. You know how you guys get paid every 2 weeks. You know, up until the last 2 week period, how much they got paid. They don't manage any of that. That comes from the accounting office.
Yeah.
Remember, we enter all of the hours.
So we're just concerned with this 7,000 number.
You're concerned with operations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm going to be frank with you. That's behind. She's got the
exactly.
data budget.
Yeah.
But right. That's the programming board. I want to be clear. We have to wait for all of the P cards to reconcile up against the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you submit a receipt, you know how it weighs all big on his receipts? This is why.
Mm-hmm.
Without those receipts, he can't submit the expense, which means it won't hit the account.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understood where the difference was coming from. Thanks for being on top of it. Are there any other questions? Senator Wallace?
With the receipts that you're waiting on from Undrun and all that stuff, are the is this cost that this grand total cost of $34,000 just about, is that expected to go up or go or stay pretty steady with the receipt of receipts?
So the 34, I feel like it should be around exactly that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Undrun was pretty on spot with everything. The only thing is Wolf It Down, I know that they did a lot of original shopping because of the original date, and then when it got postponed, they had to do some more additional shopping just because perishables and stuff like that. So like I said, once I get those in, it will be updated.
Wonderful.
But yeah.
I yield.
Awesome. Anything else? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
First of the year done.
And go ahead and move on to legal services, EGO 7896. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
It's Oscar, right?
Yeah.
Could you just say your position for the record, please?
Yes. I'm co-director of FSU Legal Services.
Yeah, whenever, I mean, you don't have to read directly off of what you sent me, but just the rundown of any expenditures. I know it wasn't a ton thus far, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from what we got from the budget, our revised budget was 27,700. And that would divide between personal costs, 10,250, hourly wages, 10,000, fringe benefits, 250, 17,450 for operations, and the same amount for general operations. What I saw on the sheet that we found on the Excel sheet was we haven't spent any. I know on the form I put 955, but I was looking at the year-to-date actuals. But here on the form it says we haven't spent any on any of those categories. But since the beginning of the semester, me and my co-director have clocked in hours for legal services. Usually that means that once we receive a request form from a student that is in need of legal services, usually we'll do them, we never do them during school time, but when we have free time in the evenings or before class or after. Then that's when we'll clock in. Now, however long it takes us to reach out to the student, or whether we get multiple during that day, which has happened more recently at the beginning of the semester, that's usually how we'll clock in our hours. And then obviously, we have our meetings with any students that are in need of our assistance every Friday, usually for them 1:30 or 4:30, depending on what everybody's availability is. But as far as the form that I sent to you guys, basically what we do is we provide legal assistance, and we also provide referrals to students and staff faculty. So as long as you're under the UNR umbrella, we're able to help you. We are very we pride ourselves in being private, so everything is confidential. Nobody ever knows who we talk to, who we don't talk to. But as far as the budget is concerned, we have seen an increase in students needing legal assistance, especially if they are using student housing or if they're off housing. We've seen an increase in landlord-tenant issues. A lot of students are in need of help understanding their lease or just general legal questions. We've seen, not to get into too much details, but we have seen an increase in that sort of legal assistance, and we're one of the only legal services in all you know that actually I guess provides that assistance. Landlord tenant, it's such a great niche area in the legal field, but we don't, us as the co-directors, we don't give legal advice. Obviously we work with a private attorney here in town, but we'll help people with landlord tenant, DUIs, tickets,
MIPs.
Yeah, divorces. It's very broad. Thankfully, we haven't had anything too serious yet. But in terms of how the spending has furthered our mission, we've been able to continue to provide legal assistance. We don't hold events per se because of how confidential we are. So I know before we were co-directors in office here, but now everything is completely online. So we don't hold events. We don't do any event stuff. We do both tabling events just sort of let incoming freshmen or other students that may not know that we're here, just to let them know, you know, keep us in your back pocket. We're here if you need us. Challenges encountered based on funding received. As of now, we don't know of any. Like I said, it's a very niche thing. We meet with students, we speak to them, and we go about their day. We're not on much of an umbrella. And then there hasn't been any need for travel thus far. We don't travel at all. Everything's all online through Zoom.
Great. Thank you so much. Does anyone want to start it off with questions?
Do you minimize this page?
Yeah, which one would you like to see?
The one that's right behind it, that one. Sandy Liu, you can help with this. What I'm confused by is, so I see that our approved budget is the same as like on here, but then at the very bottom, it says available ending balance is like 4,000. What's up with that?
You have an account called the general revenues account, which is where all your fees come into. The university operates in good faith with us. Remember this?
I do.
They let you start spending money on July 1. And really the only money you have is what rolled over, right? They don't spend a whole lot of money. It's wages and then paying the attorney. The $17,450 is what gets paid to the attorney in six separate installments. So as of now, Wei and I, if you go back and you look at the SAS, I'm instructed by the SAS to send over general revenues to each of the accounts at the end of each quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So on September 25th, we're going to go through and look at all the accounts and see who's in the negative. They'll be in the negative by the time September 25th comes along, because there's a payment that's going to come due to the lawyer. We have permission, and we'll send an email to the chair of budget and finances, we're instructed to do, and to the president of the university. She has to sign off on a PACWI form. We'll transfer those dollars over. Do you see where it says, sorry, let me turn on my computer because I just can't see that at all.
I can zoom into where you want me to.
Do you see where it says all sources? At the top of the
finances.
By the end of the year, we will have transferred the equivalent of $27,700 minus, you see where it says opening balance, $5,350. $5,350 rolled over. Okay.
Gotcha.
So that's why right now budgeting beginning is $22,349. And when you look at the bottom and you see there's $4,395, see how it's the $5,350 minus the $955 they paid out in wages.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The guys, these sheets are super simple. Don't overcomplicate it, but if you just follow the math, you'll see exactly where it goes. But yeah, we can actually do a report if you'd like in October during one of your meetings. You can present the memo that literally breaks down how much money was transferred out of child revenues. Why do we have to do it four times a year? Because you guys aren't paying all your fees into the association up front. You pay them summer session, end of summer session two, fall, winter break, spring, mini term. And so, again, I go back to this is a university operating in good faith. Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
These are great questions, by the way. I want you all to get so comfortable with these sheets. Right, because this is real life. You guys are going to go out to the world and have jobs, and you're going to be looking at sheets just like this.
Yeah, and I guess on that note, I was sort of curious about some things, and I was looking at the review for this account from last year, and since there's no operations yet, this tab is obviously empty. But last year, all of the memos for every purchase, I guess, it just said renewal of PO, which I assume is purchase order. Is that just how salaries come through?
If you're talking about the lawyer's salary, the $17,450, it's actually goes under, it's not even under wages, it's under operations.
Right.
Why? Because it's actually the ENSHI system that enters into a contract with this lawyer. Therefore, a purchase order is created. And it states clearly, if you read the contract, this lawyer will be paid in six equal installments of X amount of money. So when the payment comes through, it actually looks like a payment on a purchase order.
Yeah.
It's really the payment that goes to the lawyer. And just in all fairness or full disclosure, the contract is sitting on my desk. Roberto came by to sign it. The university decided they didn't want DocuSign signatures. We're having to reroute the entire contract to get original signatures all the way up to the system office. And I get it. Like, it's also, believe it or not, the chancellor signs this contract. You need to know that your lawyer can never be used against the university. Rule number one. Rule number two, the lawyer actually can't represent students in court. He sits face to face with them on Zoom and gives them the legal advice on how to go represent themselves in court.
Wow.
If additional assistance is needed, Oscar and Helena and the lawyer will actually connect them to legal assistance outside of the university. We're talking, and they will get them, and it's ugly to say battery. I'm talking sometimes death, being accused of murder, being, those are few and far between. That's not what Oscar and Helena and Roberto do. We're there for the land for tenant issues. Sometimes it's immigration issues. Sometimes it's visa issues for international students. But yeah, you need to know there's some limitations to your program.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that answers my question. So the renewal of each purchase order is basically just that contract
It's not a
cycle.
renewal of a purchase order. It's a check coming, hitting up against that purchase order up until it hits $17,450.
Okay, I gotcha.
How else can I explain that?
Yeah, it must just be how it's the convention
Okay.
of the
The
naming.
purchase order is the commitment. You see how there's a line item that's called commitments?
Yes.
It's in zero because we haven't processed the contract yet. But eventually, you're going to see a commitment there of $17,450. As it gets paid out, that obligation, see the line item, starts increasing while the commitment decreases. And it's just showing the payments are being made.
Gotcha.
Perfect.
Senator Sanders.
All right, I'm gonna be a little bit of a stickler here, and Maselli and Sandy, perhaps you guys can help. So I noticed, like with the agenda that we uploaded, there wasn't a mission statement. How, maybe this is also like a whole committee thing, how would we like go about going forward if there isn't like a certain section filled out?
Well, in all fairness, they've never been told to write a mission
That's
statement.
fair, yeah.
But which I can work on with them. They operate under the Center for Student Engagement. What they should be doing is putting the mission of the Center for Student Engagement. And if you've never read it, pretty spot on, we're all about students kind of thing. So just in fair, Oscar's looking at me like, I don't know what mission statement
It's okay.
but yeah. That's up to you all to decide.
Yeah, I think we can throw it out there next time to just try and fill out everything to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Because I think it helps tell a story if we know what their
I
mission
agree
is
with you.
before seeing all the data. Yeah, Senator Moss. Just some quick questions for me. I used to work in the CEC, so I know how you feel with managing these kind of budgets. Is it just you and your co-director that are the only student staff for legal services?
We also have an assistant to the co-directors.
Oh, awesome.
It's
Okay.
technically three of us.
Three of us. Wonderful, wonderful. And follow up, if I may, Mr. Chairman. So the only expenditure thus far has just been wages. Perfect. So how many have you served students through do you let me rephrase. I have like two questions in my head right now. Have you served students
up to this point in the fiscal year, or have you guys just started serving students because the school year started?
The physical year started in July.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, since July we have summers are a little less busy, just because a lot of the students once they go back home, if they have any sort of legal issues, they'll confer with the local attorney or whatever the case may be. But we have this summer we were busier than last summer. So here on our data. In July, we served one client, but the way our data is people that have been served and people that we contact. So we don't always serve every student that we contact, just depending on the attorney's specialization, or if it's just something that, that's basically what it comes down to. If the attorney doesn't have any specialization in that area, can't serve them, but we will always refer them to somewhere else. But for July it was one. For August, we served three. The contacts, we had nine contacts in July, 16 in August. And for September it's gonna be double.
Wonderful.
Because what we've seen is the start of the semester, there's an increase in students needing legal assistance. Then once we go down to like break the family, it'll slow down a bit. Then once students come back, it'll increase again. Same with like winter break or the start of the semester as well.
Wonderful. You answered my next question was how many students have you contacted and served? So
Thank
perfect on you. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you do.
you. Service. Sometimes there are issues that aren't legal, but the student thinks they're legal, but it's like, you need to go talk to the provost office. So that's what he means by contacts. All sorts of people come to them for help. They think it's legal, but it's not legal, it's policy. You know what I forgot? What we forgot to add? Because he could be sentence data. We forgot to add at the end some heading for data. Please include any user data.
I was just thinking, I was going to ask you to email me like how many students you serve at the end of the semester because we love to see that sort of data. That can be something we add.
Did you put it in yours?
That was
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Go
That
ahead.
was also feedback that I came and asked Sandy. I was like, there's not a spot for me to put data on here, and I ended up putting it in one of my sections as well. So when you're asking a question about feedback on the form, that would be something. It's all form.
Yeah, all
Perfect.
these directors go in on a regular basis and update their data. So that monthly they have totals, semesterly they have totals for the year. So yeah, let's put it in an offer mind, at least on the CSC side.
Yeah, I tried to keep it general, and I guess where I say description of events slash programs slash services provided and their attendance or impact, I could gear that more towards specific numbers, quantitative data. So that's great advice. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you so much, Oscar.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's move on to pack rides, PT08849.
Justin.
Wonderful. Hello, committee. For those of you who I have not met yet, my name is Justin Berger. I'm the coordinator of Pack Rides program here in the Center for Student Engagement. My role as coordinator of program services, I supervise that program. I'll supervise the front desk that should greet everyone as we're coming in today, and also handle employee development for many of the CSE programs and services that y'all will hear about over the term of your financial reviews. However, my role today is to talk about Pack Rides. But if I may, I just want to say, like, as somebody who studies business, both in the undergraduate and then I'm working on my master's in business as well, I really enjoyed the conversation we've been having at the table today. Like, y'all, I want to reiterate Sandy's comment, we're asking really good questions about how budgets work, where the money's flowing, and things like that. So I just want to say I've enjoyed the conversation. But then after that, I'll jump into my report. So Pack Rides, as far as mission statement, we could be summarized by talking about the CSE mission statement as we're part of that larger community. But I included a small blurb about where Safe Transportation Service, Asia and Pack Rides is, that operates week nights, Monday through Friday, 5 to 10, that services a 3-mile radius around the University of Everino campus. We employ about 20 employees who drive Asian Pack Rides vehicles that offer an on-demand point-to-point ride service for students that provides safe transportation at night. And a couple of the words that we hit on a bunch are main points for us is safety, and also to and from co-curricular and academic activities. So it should be something related to your campus activities. We also offer a weekend retail shuttle, so we'll transport students to and from campus locations to a retail service on Saturdays and Sundays, and then also special select events in the community, such as service days or Asian events or different things that are going on. Total allotted to us for this Asian budget is $241,976.84. Total spent the time that we completed this review form, which was September 3rd, was $19,921.39. Some of the ways that we've been spending that is operating this nightly service, as I've been talking about before. And so as of September 3rd, this is the third line down in that account spending portion. We've been able to provide 779 safe rides for our passengers. And then I included comparing that to 582 with nightly service, which outpaces previous years of 266 in 2024 and then 493 in 2023. We've also been able to provide rides for our student engagement initiatives and Asian programs, such as the Pack in Action Service Day, the Paint the Anne event, and the concert in collaboration with the J Resort a handful of weeks ago.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Can you go to the other sheet? That not that one. If you go to the one that you're still on, but then go to a different tab.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then that one. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. Awesome. And then we've also have plans to assist with some future initiatives as well. So we have the Pride this last weekend, which has since happened since the finally in this form. But also the 9/11 day services upcoming again. So far, as far as spending goes, there's a couple of main buckets that our spending will fall into. Student wages, which the previous group had also mentioned, we also hadn't had any student wages hit our account since then because we hadn't made it fully out of their first pay period. And then also fuel charges and parking and things like that. So we spent $8,532 on parking. And so far, $254.85 on fuel. Moving over to the backside, we also spent some costly repairs on our Connect shuttles, which are two 25-passenger shuttles that have not been operational since COVID time and they had stopped being used. So we thankfully have those back in operations and are brainstorming ways to creatively use those in the community as well. Challenges encountered based on funding received. We don't anticipate any challenges, but we did know of one large charge that hasn't hit our account yet, in addition to student wages, is that we still have to pay our purchase order for our online dispatching service, our app that our students use. And so we know upcoming that we will spend $25,000 out of our operating funds, in which I've already started the process of filing that purchase order and getting the app through accessibility review and other things that need to happen along. Moving on to planning and recommendations, operations have been achievable to this point. Last year, we were super proud to pass the 20,000 ride mark, which is a benchmark that we've been bringing for a handful of years. Also mentioning a budget and finance for probably since I've been here trying to get there. So we did get there last year. And it's also been awesome to help with some of the external events this semester. Has there been a need for travel funding? No, so far. The program in the past has gone to a conference, but they haven't held a conference in the last couple of years. So in years future, I would like for us to go to that conference again. But we don't anticipate having any travel funding in the future. And then that is my report. And again, Justin Gregorian.
Thank you so much. Does anyone want to kick off questions? Yes, everyone can see.
I just have a small question. I was looking at like the locations in which you go to for repairs. Do you have a location that you guys typically go to that you like form with and they do your repairs for you, or is it kind of whoever does it for the cheapest and that's available at the time?
It depends on what type of repair it is. Oftentimes for small repairs under $2,000, we'll use Greg's Garage, partially because we have a really good standing relationship with them. And so you'll see them on our line items quite a bit of us charging receipts over to Greg's Garage. it's over $2,000 or if it's for a vehicular accident, we do have to submit three different bids, basically, not necessarily, but we just submit to the state of three different quotes, and then the state will decide where we get those repairs at. Oftentimes, they'll go with the cheapest one, but it doesn't always have to be that way. And so, yes, we will use some regularly, but then also depending on what the vehicle accident is, we may take it to a specialist or somewhere.
But you have that peace relationship with Greg's Garage.
That's correct. And they're close to campus, so they're very convenient.
Senator McAndrews and Senator Moss.
Okay. So I saw on like your data area that you spent about $8,000 on parking. Just to clarify, is that like for UNR parking services, and is it like parking services per semester?
So that's yearly.
Okay.
But yes, it is UNR parking services. And so that covers the three spots that we have right outside these windows down here in the back of the jail. And then also covers the rest of the vehicles that we have up in the north lot and the EX long-term parking area back there. And I could get back to y'all if y'all want the specific breakdown of it. But if I remember correctly, it's around 700 back here and around 500 up there per vehicle.
Is it like yearly, like physical year, or is it more like
fiscal year?
Okay.
It'll work the same.
I see.
I know, you can't just
park
the
yeah,
that's... I think we all have that question.
Yeah, right.
go ahead.
I don't, do you guys get refunded for that amount at all, or no, it just stays with the parking services?
So every single vehicle you have, a vehicle you see parked out there, has to pay for that spot. Every vehicle you all pay, you know how we keep the truck and the Corolla up here because everybody uses them? That comes out of the Center for Student Engagement account. You're going to see that expense. Mm-hmm. The only reason we do that is that proximity matters for programming when you're coming back and forth from the state legislature, right? But yeah, every vehicle you see is paying to park. Who's had the privilege of having a designated parking space?
That's great.
Yeah.
The gator slash ranger will come out of the CSE account as well, and it's parked underneath weekend.
Senator Moss, do you have any?
So I had a question, but now that has spurred another one, if I may, Mr. Chairman. So does with that parking with paying for parking from the university, do you get a discounted fee at all, or do you pay the regular fee that other university personnel or other university services pay?
To my knowledge, we pay the same amount that another department would pay.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I know your service only goes about a 3 mile radius around campus, which is useful. And I noticed you only spent $254 on fuel. How often are your vehicles fueling up if they're only going about three? That's a really, like, I expected that to be a lot higher. So I'm impressed by that number being so low.
Yeah, so the total, remember we were talking about obligations earlier?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, this account obligates $18,000 to cover fuel for the year. And that's just all that we had spent up to September 3rd was the $254. To ask her the answer the specific detail question, it's about once a night per the vehicle that's being used. So we have about 10 vehicles we're using regularly. About four or five of them might get used each night, and then they'll fill it up before the end of the evening, so it's ready to go for the next day.
Wonderful.
By December, they will have spent 9,000. Remember,
yeah.
We haven't been doing the 5 to 10 service because it's been summertime.
Yep.
I feel an obligation and responsibility. I sat over here and I smirk. It's not okay. The university is a public space. Okay. There are nothing is free. You need to know that. And it can't be free because the university auxiliary services just can't exist. So Lawler has to raise enough money to keep itself going. The Nevada Wolf Shop has to raise enough money to keep itself going. All of these auxiliary enterprises, parking is one of them. Parking doesn't get any money from the university. So it has to maintain parking lots, get them paved, the parking. So their source of revenue are actual parking spaces. If a student wants to do a concert on the north lot, we will get charged per parking space. The amount of space we pay. So I know it sounds crazy, but yeah, it's
Yeah, go ahead.
Our colleagues at Park Campbell have been really gracious to us. I currently and none of my staff have the licensure to be able to drive those Connect shuttles. So some of our colleagues at parking were helping me transport them over to the repair shop to get them through. And then also a development that we were able to share at last year's budget finance review is that it's really awesome now that our app of PAC Transport is also shared under the same house as the PAC Transit app, which is also ran by Parking Services. And so it's been a huge win that we've been able to partner with them in that way.
Are you going to be working with your staff to get licensed to drive the Connect shuttles, or is that going to continue to be a Parking Services collaboration?
Open to conversation.
Okay.
To see
it costs money.
Yeah, exactly.
So we literally have 225 passenger buses. When we did have the dollars from ASUN to do it, we would drive clubs and organizations to their events, to their service projects. Gift Pulse was huge, because we could drive students anywhere, right, to do work with nonprofit organizations. But then COVID happened, and then we couldn't find a bus driver to save our lives. Okay. And then we would get them trained, and they would get stolen by Washoe County and by Parking Services.
Mm-hmm.
Bus drivers are in high demand, believe it or not. So if you know anybody that has there's 225 passenger, by the way, the former vice president of student services bought them for you.
Oh, okay.
You didn't even pay for those things. So I would love to be able to get us a bus driver or two. Imagine the doors of opportunity that would open up.
I agree. Go ahead, Senator Sanders.
With that, do you see flexibility in your budget to be able to hire two bus drivers as far as salary or...
We've done well on wages the last handful of years, but I have to get back to that to look at the, I budget out about how many, I approximate, I know what my students' wages are and then how many approximate hours they'd be working. And that's where I get my budget justification number before y'all submit the budget at the beginning of the year. But again, I'd have to work it to see like what the going rate for a CDL driver would be and things like that, that we haven't explored to that extent.
And one more question. So as far as those like 225 like passenger vans, let's say we like do start driving them, would you like foreshadow like an increase of like more allocated budget to be able to maintain the like upkeep of those?
Yes, likely in wages and also in operations. So currently a lot of our operations budget goes to the maintenance of vehicles, and as vehicles get older, they require more maintenance. And so then becomes the...
How about if we reframe this? If this committee wanted, you can give him a charge and tell him, we'd like for you to come back to this committee and tell us what the costs would be of use of 225 passenger vehicles, the bus drivers, and maintenance. That's his job. Like, so if you want to give him that charge, he would do that for you.
I had a few questions, and just looking at this, and I know you said you don't foresee any challenges with this budget. Last year, looks like you had a little bit more funds for student wages. Operations is the exact same. Do you feel like there's a lack of manpower or anything, or how are you guys operating in that regard?
Maybe last year, we're at a healthy number of 20 right now.
Okay.
And usually 20 to 25 is what I figure in that budget justification form, as my staff is probably loudly yelling.
Hey, still.
Yeah.
So can you
ask your question one more time?
So you're comfortable with the amount of employees that you have right now? Because last year, it just looks like there's more, 157,000 in student wages compared to 146.9.
Yes. Tough to provide some context too. At one point in March last year, we were also granted more funds out of the general revenues account. And so we had done the work to reduce our budget and allocate less. And then we're given some in March, which in March we had 6 weeks left of the semester to finish out, mm-hmm. and then had some unspent. And so that's part of where that gap comes from, is that we were, yes, provided extra put in, but not the time to spend it effectively within the group.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, that answers my question.
It is super hard when you've got a consistent service You have to plan out a year.
Mm-hmm.
Give the programming board an extra 60,000 in March and they can spend it.
Right.
It's going to take us 3 weeks to go out and hire more student employees. They got to take the driver's course. They've got to, and then the end of the semester comes. That being said, this is why I'm glad you're asking the question. Ideally, we could get funds to get those 25 passenger vans going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the opportunity for clubs and orgs and volunteerism would go up exponentially.
Yeah.
Is it feasible to have a program to get students trained with a Class C driver's license and have them have students be ones?
You don't know what I'm putting through up But please answer the
question. I was curious, yeah. Instead of trying to find a bus driver to retrain a student to get a Class C license.
In some ways, I would wonder if it's cost effective.
Right.
Okay. And, I approach it from a business mindset.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
We can train students, and I do want to pour into their development. However, one of the things that may cause to happen there is that they could get paid more by going to work for everybody else that we've already just done. And so we could put the couple of thousand into sending them to a CDL course. Yeah. And then lose them 6 months along the line, or not even lose them somewhere else, they graduate, or they move on for one reason.
Do you have a rough color? I know you put on the exact numbers, but do you know how much those courses cost roughly? Is it 1,000?
The last one I wrote down was 3,000.
Okay.
And that was a private, if I wanted to go get it myself, is what that course would cost. That was the extent of my exploration. Was looking
all right, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
What kind of salary would a bus driver like be interested in driving for us?
That's the same. I haven't done that research yet, so I have to get back to you on that one. And that was a part of my same budget. Just
find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To find out.
Google.
Cool. Any other questions?
I said we, I don't know if we do this. I don't know if we make motion or anything like that, but I would love if we could get some more data on the, because I think that those buses can help a lot of departments.
That's what I'm saying. Give them
I'm
you know, it doesn't have to be on your agenda.
Sure.
You can say as
It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but if we could have if you could find rough just estimates of how much those factors would cost, because I think that we'd be interested in potentially giving more money if we could do that, especially if we can get higher participation in certain events and even longevity when you talk about the fact that we're gonna have, you know, football or basketball teams gonna be off campus now. Like,
yeah.
You know, so look into those things, I think, is very important. So if you were able to do that, that would be super. It doesn't necessarily have to be super formal or anything, but
yeah, certainly. Is there any specific items that y'all would like me to draw out, or like obviously the wage of the drivers would be due out. We took two of them, so I would look at two drivers. But is there any other
maybe just if like I mean if you know how much a course would cost, maybe like just compare it to something like
yeah.
And the maintenance of the vehicles, the gun.
Yes.
Yeah. You know why this is starting?
We have buses
to take you all to a retreat.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's
Washoe County
yeah.
buses
yeah.
last week to
yeah.
do the service project. Athletics decided 47 students are going to join the service project this weekend. Now we're scrambling to get buses again.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just go over to the north lot.
Yeah.
Another additional thing I would like to see in that report is, like, let's say we have the wages of the bus drivers, like the maintenance, gas, but like what differences we would need to see in the overall budget to kind of like, you know, compensate for that. Yeah.
Thank you for looking at
it. Yeah, for sure. And then I guess my next question would be timeline. When would it be expected for me to get it back to you?
When do you guys think? I mean, as long as you have enough time to operate that gives us good data, it is like by the end of the semester reasonable?
That's more than reasonable to look at.
Okay.
How about by next month?
Yeah,
yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
But thank you for being
generous.
And here's the deal. We may be
looking
November. At, okay, if we expand like that, do we need a graduate assistant to help him? Because remember, he's also managing front desk operations, et cetera. So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Mid-October would be perfect.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I wish y'all could go and get into the buses. They're like brand new.
I want to.
They're in the north lot. And they have ASUN, right?
I get a classic.
Yeah. We can't go on a little field trip or
it sounds like so much potential for that.
I'm going to see if anyone's got a student.
We had an ASUN officer that had a class C driver.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you all also used to take a trip over the pass in the summer. You take a road trip to go visit like Sacramento State, Davis and stuff, to go visit their student governments. That used to be part of it. You see what I mean by
so much opportunity. That's amazing.
Sandy, do you have information of like how much money it is just to rent like a bus for one event?
For a wash up time, yeah, I can't remember if it's 250.
Two buses are $500 for like 4 hours. Those Amador buses and stuff, they can run 2 to 3,000. And that's just to pick you up and drop you off.
Yeah, the Amadors, we use those for lacrosse transportation. I mean, they're like, they're $3,000 minimum every trip.
Same with Senator Lucchese. Like for the Nevada Boy State program, we charter Amador buses, and they're because we keep them for a longer, it's an upwards charge of $20,000. So
what budget do we pull that like funds for those buses?
So you all have allocated money in the executive board account for the ASUN retreat.
Mm-hmm.
It's operating, and then the rest of it is hosts, like the food and paying for where you sleep at.
Mm-hmm.
So that money comes from that section. What for the Center for Student Engagement, we're pulling in from our operations funds. You all granted us a small amount for CLD, Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement Initiatives, volunteerism, voter registration. That's where we're pulling them out. The programming board had to rent buses. Mm-hmm. They pulled it out of their operating fund. But yeah, right now, Washoe County has been super good. School district has been super good to us.
I have another question. For like clubs and like transportation in that sense, we would use club funding, like club sports and stuff. They would use club funding, like money to pay for those buses.
Sure, the
clubs
can come and ask you all for money for anything,
mm-hmm.
from their, you know, their gear to t-shirts to pizza to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It may be like if they want to travel, they may say, hey, we need $2,000 for an Amador bus to take us to Sac State and come back. So yeah, whatever they decide to submit, it's based on the tiers, and so they have to be strategic about the use of those tier funds. The problem with Washoe County School District buses is they're not going to leave Washoe County,
mm-hmm.
right? They'll go up to the lake because that's still within driving distance for them, right? But they're not going to be able to take it to Sac State to go play a rugby game or a soccer game. So there are limitations to that.
Yeah. And then let's say clubs do end up using that for travel. I'm expecting that clubs would need to pay like a portion of like whatever, but would we expect those like to be like wages for the bus drivers, gas, stuff like that, if we end up using those for transportation?
So ideally,
uh-huh.
what you start off with is you want to provide it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But we have what we call a recharge account. Do you remember how parking services has to charge for the parking spaces? Technically, we're not supposed to be providing this service for free. Great example. Alumni call, they had the Golden Reunion. I mean, these folks were in their 80s. I'm not lying. It was 2 weeks ago.
Class of 1975.
Tell them what happened. What was the request?
The request was is that they were meeting down at the new business building. They were in the new business building, and they need to be in the KC within like 10 minutes of putting that agenda. And so it was like, hey, can we have pack drivers come and pick them up and transport some of the KC and then take them back maybe an hour afterwards or what have you?
And so technically now we're supposed to turn around, and the recharge account will charge them for the distance, we'll charge them for the student wages. It was nothing. They want to make $150 donations to Pack Rides because they're super grateful that these 80-plus-year-old folks got to get into air condition. It was hot, right? So we could do that, Grace, and that's something that this committee could actually decide on and give them feedback. Either we want it all free for clubs and orgs, or they pay 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Then they turn around and get funding from clubs and orgs. Like, we can do this all sorts of ways.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I mean, any clubs in org would be willing to pay half of what they have to pay for a regular bus.
Yeah.
If the demand is there. Yeah, I think that's all great ideas. Any other questions or anything? Justin, thank you so much for putting so much thought into this. It was really helpful. Did you enjoy the form as well? Was it easy to navigate through and everything?
Yeah, just the data section would be huge.
Okay.
Definitely
gonna add that.
I put this section under here under challenges encountered.
Okay.
If you had a spot for like known future charges or significant future charges,
yeah.
Because I ended up putting those in that challenges section.
Yeah.
No, it's not really a challenge. It's just something I know is going to impact the account in the future.
Okay.
But again, that's like just small feedback that as I was explaining out, I was like, well, there's not really a spot to put this large charge that I have coming.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thanks for
Thank
the
you.
Feedback.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all the financial reviews. We'll go ahead and move on to agenda item 9, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time?
I think this inform sparked a lot of cool conversation.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I sense some legislation maybe coming up in the future or something. Good job, everyone. We'll go ahead and move on to agenda item 10, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 5:11 p.m. on Wednesday, September 10th, 2025, in the Frank Acedo Papa President's Conference Room.
Yay.
I'm curious, are you like trialing the different member sheets, basically?